Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, the Runnin' Rev, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. This is going to be a special episode. It's one that I've kind of thought about doing for a little while, but I've always had guests in the queue waiting to be edited and released and put into the podcasting feed. And I had this little break where I don't have any episodes recorded right now. And so I thought that I would come to you all with a solo episode because you have heard about all of these great and these awesome people doing these amazing things on the run and beyond, but you haven't really heard as much about me. Of course, I interject some of my own story in there, but I want to provide an episode for you to learn about the Runnin' Rev, to learn about me, my running journey, my community, what community has meant for me, and even what started this podcast. And so here, 22 episodes in, you will finally get to know me a little bit more, a little bit better, and then we will be back next week with some more guest episodes. So let's dive in with, I guess, this conversation with myself. All right. Yes, it is a solo episode. I am here by myself. I'm recording in front of my computer. It is super weird and super awkward because while this is an audio only podcast, normally I am video chatting with my guests. So right now I am just looking at my voice recording as it is recording in GarageBand. And so it's kind of weird. It's kind of awkward. At least I don't have to listen to my own voice. That will come later. And that awkwardness will be even worse when I have to record it, as you guys now get insight into what goes into many of these episodes. But again, I wanted to bring this episode because, you know, I love the idea of continuity. I love the idea of having a product that comes out each and every week that is something that you can learn from. And because of a lot of things that have been happening, busyness in life, busyness in my church, busyness just all around, I have not been able to record with guests yet. I've had kind of a gap in guests. And so I thought, what better way than to fill this gap than to for this to kind of be a conversation with myself, for you all to learn a little bit more about me and about what I do, right? I am a runner. I have not as many accolades as some of the folks who have come on, but, you know, I have been a part of the running community in terms of been a runner for well over 20 years, almost 25 years, probably. I've been doing this for a while. I've been in different kinds of community. You've heard from many of our guests who have been running since high school, who have picked up this sport as adults. And I can relate to each and every one of those because I've had this up and down relationship with running. And so I wanted to come here and provide this story as a way for us to all remember and continue to grow together. There have been parts of these episodes where I have shared and have given insight into what has happened in my own journey, but to give just a full length understanding of how I have grown as a runner and a human being. And so we start, and I start every episode, obviously, with our guests with the question of what is your community and what makes your community awesome? Not as a way to say that my community or anybody's community is better than another community. I can get really competitive, and I will get really competitive with you if you like, because, you know, I mean, I will say that my community is the best, but it's also the best for me. It's the best for what I need. And that's not to say that my community is perfect. I think it is far from perfect, but the way that I experience it and the way that I input myself when I'm doing it in the greatest sense of what it means, I feel like my community offers what is awesome and what is best for me. And my hope of lifting up these stories of what makes these communities awesome is that we will in turn see the things that are lifted up in communities by those around us and the ways that we can hopefully make our communities better. Because you're sitting here thinking and you hear some of these guests say, this is why my community is awesome. You're like, man, that would be really great in my community. I think we should do something like that. And so when I think of my community, I think of, you know, first of all, my mind goes to obviously I am the co-leader of Run Samo here in in Portsmouth, Virginia at Momac Brewing Company. Feel free to come and join us on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock for our typical weekly run club, 11 o'clock on Saturdays if you want a weekend run. But that is the run club that is my community. But just like a lot of our guests, my community is not limited to the group of people that I often run with. And I think you heard from Mike the way that this run club, Run Samo, it has become like a family where we are actively involved in each other's lives outside of running. But I also, I have my own family and they are my community wholly. I am a pastor, right? You know, you all have heard me say my nickname is the Run and Rev. And so, yes, I'm a pastor of a church. And please do not let that scare you away from listening in the future. Because I want who I am to be part of my identity, but I don't want who I am to be colored by what you may think about pastors, about the church. I want you to see me as a person because I will see you as a person as well. But that is a part of my community. That's a part of who I am. And the thing that makes all of these different various communities awesome is that they have all played a role in making me who I am. And when I listen to the stories of each and every one of our guests and I see why they have an affinity towards their community and why their community is awesome, the ultimate narrative within that story is that those communities are awesome because they have given us that person. They have offered to us that person in the way that they are before us and who they are. And so when I look at each and every one of these communities, they have all offered me something different. My family offers me great love, great compassion. They give me a sense of being a husband and a father and the connection that I get. I can share things with my family that I cannot share with most anybody else in my life. You know, I do consider parts of my church, parts of my vocation as part of my community. Whether I consider the local church that I serve a community in and of itself that helps to support me in my vocation, or the denomination, the United Methodist Church that I am a part of that supports me through other clergy colleagues who are in conversation with me and talking with me about what is making me a better person. And of course, I have my run club, which I have learned over these, not just the time that I've been doing this podcast over the last 5 or 6 months, but also over the course of being a part of this run club, Run Samo, as well as the journey that got me to Run Samo, what it means for running communities to build us up, not only in terms of being what we might expect as better runners, right? And we probably put, you know, speed, PRs, whatever you want to put on that. But also, I think there's a lot that being a part of this run club has generally made me a better person as well. Because I see within the run club opportunities for us to care for the outdoors, to care for those around us. If I had never been a part of a run club, I don't know that I would have ever been pushed in a way to volunteer at races because I love participating in races so much. And so they've called me into new and different things in order to help out in the community around me, because it becomes not just about that community, but the connections that we have made beyond that. And so my communities in plural are awesome because they have made me who I am. They've welcomed me in as sort of my imperfect self. And in a lot of ways, they continue to allow me to be imperfect, but they also allow me the space to transform into who I am meant to be and to explore in those different ways. And the way that that has occurred has been over time. It has not happened overnight. And it's through interacting with various different communities that have allowed me to become who I am today. The person sitting at this microphone talking for who knows how long this episode's going to go on. I've been told that I'm long-winded, but I will try and keep you to less than, let's say, 6 hours on this podcast. But no, really, probably about 40 minutes. But to make me who I am and to continue to offer within that this way that we can be community with one another. You have this podcast in front of you because I have felt the love and support of community around me that has given me this idea of creating this conversation and bringing this conversation to you all so that we can all learn and grow together. And that growth began when I was a kid, when I started running. And for a long time for me, running was just something that happened. I was always sporty. I was always athletic. I played soccer. I played baseball. So running was always a part of my life. And it wasn't until I got to high school that I really started to run competitively. And I ran competitively because I wanted this community. However, the thing that I learned was that in wanting to be a part of community, you need to recognize what that place is. Because if we don't recognize what that place is, we can end up causing physical, emotional, mental pain within our lives. When I joined the cross country team in high school, I wanted to be the fastest person. I wanted to hang with the fastest people. And I did that at the expense of learning the basics of being a quality runner. I always joke that I was my team's number 7 runner. I was always that last one. I'd get that final point that you needed. If you needed one point, I was your guy. And it's because I just went after that mentality of wanting to get the most points that I ended up being the guy who just got the single point in order to help. Because what would end up happening is I'd be struggling throughout the season to get to the front that I wouldn't take the time to do it in the best way. I would do all of my workouts and I would just give everything I had 150% each and every time. And so I spent a lot of my high school running career injured. Heck, I spend a lot of my running time injured. It just comes after me. And now I'm better about it. And that's why a lot of my injuries now are more frustrating than they probably were in high school. Because maybe in high school, they were frustrating enough in high school. Don't get me wrong. But looking back on it, I get more frustrated now, I think, because I'm trying to do it the right way now. I'm trying to behave on the run. I have freak accidents like driving my bike into like hitting a pothole in my bike, falling off and fracturing my elbow, like hyperextending my knee, walking up steps. And even in trying to return to running, I feel like I do everything right. I do walk, run. I do really slow jogs. I take minutes off of my regular pace. And yet still I develop shin splints, Achilles tendonitis, plantar, all of this stuff. You know, that's why it gets, but anyways, injuries are just a part of my story. They've always been there. But in high school, I was a stupid runner and my injuries were oftentimes self-inflicted. I spent a lot of time on the sidelines, never being able to unlock my true potential when I was probably in the best shape to be able to ever do it. I spent my senior cross-country season, I spent most of the time sidelined with sprained ankles, with shin splints, with a really, really bad case of Achilles tendonitis, and yet still coming into my district meet and running a sub 19 5K, which is almost baffling to think of now. I mean, a sub 20 5K, which is almost baffling to think of, you know, taking off an entire season almost and then just coming in and dropping what I'm still trying to achieve now as an adult. But not caring for the process. But here's the bigger thing, is I felt like I needed to be the fastest person because that's where the community would love me the best, would accept me the best, as if I was the fastest or if I was with the fast folks. And I did not take the time to recognize the community that was there, even when the community was fast. I didn't recognize the community support I got. And as I am getting older and I see the community support like we see in Caitlin's story, that I can see similarities between what she has been going through for the last year and even what I've been going through for the last year. And I can see the similarities breaking down between both of our stories because I am in a better place where I am attuned to what the community is doing for me, both on and off the run. And so I don't feel the need to have to keep up with the front of the pack because I know and I trust that the front of the pack is going to be there to support me for wherever I am, wherever my abilities take me. And I think that that was a lesson that became really difficult for me to learn and transition into my time in college, where I didn't run competitively, but I still ran. I ran my first and only marathon when I was a freshman in college in 2008. And it was only a few, it was only about a month after that marathon that I hyperextended my knee for the first time and really did some pretty serious damage to it and had to be out for a long time, couldn't run for a long time. And this is really where the downturn in my running begins to take place. If you look at a graph, I'm in this like really high area in high school in terms of being active on the run. And then right when college comes, it goes, or not when college comes, but when I hurt my knee for the first time, it goes down significantly. And you can see the places, again, on a, if you looked at a graph, where it kind of like ticks itself back up, but it never really recovers back to where I was until probably about 5 or 6 years ago. And within that, there is a good long gap of, you know, almost over a decade there, where my relationship with running struggled because of this misconception I had around what I thought I needed from my running community. I thought that I needed to keep up with the front of the pack in my running community, and it wasn't until I allowed that to not be the sentiment that I actually start to see the growth and improvement that I wanted to see when I was in high school. And of course, now it looks a lot different, and I'm accomplishing great things, but it's not what is supposed to drive me, at least for me. And I don't think it's what's supposed to drive all of us. Yes, we can be driven by personal bests. We can be driven by fast times, by speed. We can be driven by these things, but we do not need to be identified by them. We do not need to be identified by our times. We can celebrate when we achieve something great. When I ran 1 hour and 33 minute half marathon in Shamrock in 2023, I could celebrate that achievement and felt great about that achievement. But I cannot define myself by that and think that is the ultimate standard for who I need to be to experience legitimate running community. Because if I get into that mindset, then that time actually means nothing, because I'm doing it at the expense of creating greater community around us. And that was a lesson that it took a long time for me to learn. And it took this time in college and being injured, in seminary and crashing my bike and then having to have ACL reconstructive surgery. And then even the relationship that I had with running in the years to come between when I graduated from seminary in 2014 and for the next 5 years until, 2019, when I finally really got serious about it again. Because I needed that opportunity that it wasn't about trying to prove things to other people. It was trying to do things to make myself better. When I set a PR, a PB, whatever we want to call it nowadays, I do it not because I want to impress other people, right? I'm on record as saying that I want to run a half marathon in an hour and a half. And you know what? Honestly, I don't care what you think about that. And that's going to sound really mean, and I apologize. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for myself. I'm doing it because there's something within me that sees that mark and knows that I can achieve it, and I want to push myself that little bit. And I'll get to it in a second, but the wrestling in that comes is what happens when it doesn't come? What happens when I struggle? And that's what I've been dealing with the last year of trying to reignite what I need to be focused on. And so I had that 5-year gap, right? Where, I mean, and it's not that I wasn't running. Go back and look at my times, look at where I was. You know, I was still running half marathons, but friends, I was training for like 3 weeks before that half marathon, was not doing a very good job at training for those half marathons, and would come in and would run those half marathons in nowhere near where I was running now, nowhere near my potential, because all I was trying to do, and I would do it, right? I'm like, I have this great audacious goal. I'm going to run the half marathon in an hour and 50 minutes. And so I'd put into the system, they'd ask for your predicted time so they can obviously put you in those corrals. And I put 1 hour and 50 minutes. And for Richmond, because of how the Richmond half marathon is set up, I'd be in like corral two or three. I'd be towards the front. I would go out like a blazing fire. I'd be dropping this great and amazing first mile time. Sometimes I'd make it to mile two, and then I would just die. I would flat out die, and I'd end up walking the majority of the second half of the half marathon because my entire mindset was I needed to do this because I needed to show other people exactly what I was made of. And I wasn't doing running for myself. I was doing running because I thought I needed to prove something to somebody else. And it wasn't until I really sat back and I committed myself to run for myself and to not care. In that season, I needed to not care what my times were. Now, I set myself a goal to always, so in 2019, so fast forward, we'll get to this part of the story. Fast forward to 2019, I end 2018 and I move into 2019 and I set myself a goal that it's like, all right, I want to get consistent. I want to get consistent in running, and I use the 5K to do it. I told myself, I said, all right, I'm going to get consistent. I'm just going to try and run, you know, X many times a week. I started with four. I moved up to five. X many times a week. And once a month, I will run a 5K. I'll run it all out just to see where I am. And I kept that up. I did that in January and February. And then in March, I had a 5K race that I ran. I did a nice little 5K series that took place over the course of 3 months in Chesterfield, where my wife and I lived at the time. And I did the first 5K. And I, again, attached no strings to it. But was still struggling and felt like my running journey was missing something. I was feeling unfulfilled in what I thought I could accomplish. And that came with a feeling of loneliness. And it took a long time for me to figure that out. And it took an invitation to come and join a run group, Race Team RVA, from one of my, you know, now really good friends, Troy Unger. Shout out, Troy. Hopefully you're listening to this. An invitation to that race team to start running with them, to get involved, and to start committing to myself that, all right, I'm going to run during the week. And now I'm going to join this group and I'm going to run on Saturdays with them for no other reason than I just want to be a part of this community. And so I began to see my reason for wanting to run during the week became the push to go and continue to run on the weekends too. And it wasn't about keeping up with anybody, though I do, and I always, you know, there is a hotshot mentality about it. I apologize for it to some extent, but it makes me who I am. So you take the good with the bad, that's how it is. But I saw it as an opportunity for me to run during the week so that I could also run on the weekend with this group of people. And there was no qualifying of pace. There was nothing. It was all about our personal goals. And, you know, we had folks there who were helping us. We had folks who coached and kind of helped us through this process of growing. But I committed to myself to grow on the run and that this community became a support system. And I define that broadly, you know, and I noticed that in the times where I tried to set, you know, quote unquote, time goals, PR goals for all of this stuff were the times that I often came up and fell short because I would lose sight of I didn't want to do it for myself. I wanted to do it for the other people, leading to becoming a coach for Race Team RVA. Because when I realized that I was trying to do something for time, that I lost the passion that I would have for running. When I tried to use running to prove that I was either better than someone or that this needed to happen because I needed to prove that I was, say, the best or that I had this quality or that quality, that's when my running failed. When I wanted to enjoy running as part of a community has always been when my running has been able to thrive. And so I recognized and noticed that. And as I went into the winter training season in 2019, going into 2020 is when that shift really started to happen. I stopped focusing on how much I needed to prove that I was in some way, shape, or form welcomed into the community, and started to want to just be a part of the community, to be a part of the community, to allow the community to help me grow, and then to put my effort into help to grow the community, and to recognize that my goals would be reached no matter what. I didn't have to prove anything to anybody. I didn't have to be the fastest person out there. I just had to be there. I had to be there. I had to be present. And in recognizing that, I began to notice, both within myself and within the community around me, how that began to make a difference. And the thing that hurt the most in that became the pandemic, because I had to really quickly learn how much that lesson meant to me. I had to really quickly learn that it became about community, because I came to a time where I had to support my running journey on my own, right? And a lot of us were there. We couldn't run in groups of people. You know, for a lot of folks, you could probably run with friends or family. A lot of us probably broke our bubbles in order to run with others. But for the most part, I was running by myself. And so I really had to learn what it meant to rely on community, not as a manner of showing off what I could do, but as a manner of gaining the confidence to continue the journey. And then to not only gain the confidence myself, but to exude that confidence in continuing the journey, that passion for wanting to run, so that others would have that motivation as well. That became the push. That became what was important for me as I thought about what needed to happen. And this is what continues to drive us forward in my viewing of what is happening, because that desire to be in community, to help one another grow, to just run with someone. I didn't care about the pace. If the pace was fast, I would hang in there. If it was slow, I would hang in there. If it was walking, I would hang in there. But as I would say, we began to return to a sense of new normal in the pandemic. And when we moved into 2021, that was the thing that I started to miss. I missed getting together and being with people and allowing our journeys to motivate us forward. And that became the spark for what became Driver Run Club, which was somewhat short-lived, only about, you know, five-ish months of that. But what a great 5 months it was, because within Driver Run Club created the spark for what is now Run Simo. And it's not that we needed to kill Driver in order to make Run Simo happen, but there became a natural molding of these together to make this club what it has become, and make this group what it has become, to hopefully continue to support and build people up in the running community. And so I started Driver because I wanted to run with someone. And I contacted who is now my friend and coach, Ryan Carroll, and I contacted him and I said, hey, I've got this crazy idea. I don't know if you remember me. I was in this community. I went to Salem when I was yada yada, all this. And so I reached out to him and I said, hey, I just want to start a group of people getting together, running together. I reached out to Danny Smith, who was a part of Tidewater Striders and is now doing all of his own crazy things out there. He had the Forerunners podcast. And so I reached out to him and all these people. And I was like, I'm trying to start a just group run on this night in this place. Let's just get together. And what that began to form was this family feeling, this sort of communal shared journey. And it became an idea where we didn't have to run at the same pace, all of us at the same pace. But we were there when we started and we were there when we finished. And there was a sense of shared journey in that. And that's what began to continue to spark this. As we come to this present day, and as I continue to struggle with a lot of this stuff and what it means now to be injured, is there is a sense in which I get really angry at the injuries, because one, I just feel like I am always injured. I always have something that is going on. And whether it is a legitimate injury, like hyperextending my knee while walking up steps, as dumb as it seems, to then trying to come back and getting, you know, really bad Achilles tendonitis and really bad Achilles pain, to iron deficiency, to getting diagnosed with sleep apnea, to get, I mean, just all of this stuff feels like it is just piling on, and life is great. And you know, yada, 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 whatever it is. But for that to be a part of my journey at this point in time, and to begin to see how I'm moving forward, to drop that sense and need of feeling like I have to prove myself to be the biggest and the best within the community. Whereas now, to come to this sense and feeling of I'm running for me. And especially in the last year, this wrestling has really come back to the forefront, because you get that taste of what it means to do something and to feel and to get that adulation. And there is that humbling experience of coming back to earth. And it's not that I think that my head got too big and my ego got too big. I can definitely see ways in which that came forth, but it's also come as a reminder, because the build back continued to focus around trying to be the runner that I had been. I had wanted so badly to return as quickly as possible to break that 90-minute half marathon barrier, to get back, because I knew, I know it's there. It's in there, and I have to do it. But to recognize what is already there in front of me, right? You ask any of my friends in Run Club, and they will probably say, oh yeah, Andrew's going to get back there. We believe that Andrew can do it again. But that's not the point. The point is not whether I do it again or not. My hope and what makes my community awesome is that, is look at that, right? They're driving that out of me. They're driving the best version of me that I can. And the best version of me that I can is not defined by an hour and a half marathon. The best version of me that I can be is going to be defined instead of how we build ourselves up in this community together. It's the work that we do to support one another, to be there for one another. Do I believe that one day I will achieve this personal best that I really want to go after? I hope so. But for me, I need to wrestle with whether I achieve it or not, is what I'm doing in the running scene still a success? And I think it is, for the sheer fact of it's happening. It's happening, and I'm a part of it. I'm not a part of the front. I'm not a part of the back. I'm not a part of the middle. I'm just a part of it. We're all a part of all of it. It all surrounds us. Some of us are front packers. Some of us are backpackers. Some of us are middle of the packers. That's just where we are. That's what our finish times tell us. But we're all a part of it. And at the end of the day, that's what matters. That's the important things that comes out of doing this. That's the important thing that comes out of being a part of this community, is we are a part of it. And the recognition is what we are receiving from it. And what I've received from community is not the speed. What I've received from community are people who believe that I can do what I set my mind to. Are people who believe that I am more than my personal bests. Of people who believe that when we gather together, it's gonna be fun. And it's gonna be a good time. And, this latest story hits me so much of, I'm in this cycle where right now I am just trying to goal my way back into running regularly. I'm trying to goal my way back into consistency. And so I'm like, all right, I want to do 4 runs a week, where those runs are 5-minute run, 1-minute walk, getting myself just back in running consistently. And now I'm in this mode of at least 5 runs a week of between 2 and 4 miles. And what that means is, you know, sometimes I'll say like, oh, I don't feel like going out on a run today, and immediately knowing, okay, I've got to pick that run back up some other time during the week. And so last week, I ran on Monday. I ran with the New Energy Crew, the Tidewater Youth Program, and got my miles in. And then Tuesday came and it was just a washout. It rained most all day. I thought in the morning about going for a run, but I wasn't really feeling up to it. The afternoon came and I thought about going for a run, but then it started raining. So then I get to Run Club that evening and it is just a really, it's not like a heavy rain, but it is like a persistent rain. And I had put my running gear on. And so I was wearing, you know, running shorts and a running shirt, and everybody was coming in and they're all ready to run. They're like, nope, rain or shine, I'm running. I'm like, oh, I think I'm just going to sit this one out. Like, I don't need to get this run in. I have a comfortability with not running because I can still get runs in later this week. And it just got to the point where none of them really needed to say thing. There was some razzing going on in there, but the end goal became sarcastically, frustratingly going out to my car and getting shoes that I could actually run in and running because I knew it was what I actually wanted to do. That the excuses I was making for not wanting to run were not what was actually happening. Right? I wanted this idea of the best run, right? Because I only needed 5 runs a week. I had 2 days that I could play with, so that I could have just prime running conditions for these 5 runs that I got. But what I needed to learn that night was that I did not need the best conditions. I needed to run. And I needed my community to support me to do that run. Now, I ran that run that night by myself. You know, my entire run crew, they turned left and they turned right into Chesapeake and I turned left into Portsmouth and I ran by myself. But it was them getting me out on the run and then getting back and for there to be that funness of, you know, how was that run? How did it go? And yeah, that run sucked because I got really wet, but it was needed. Because it was that push to be a better person than I was before. And to me, over and over again, the running community continues to push me to that, not so that I can be the best, but because I'm a part of it. And because they see my passion and drive to do these things. And so they support and they uplift. And for the most part, they know when I actually want to run when I tell them I don't, which is really weird for me. So, you know, I give these end of podcast question to folks. And, you know, for the most part, y'all probably know most of these answers, right? You know, my favorite distance to run, I'm sure you are all just screaming it into the void right now as you are listening to this, is the half marathon. I love a good half. I also love a good 10K. And I love to just really showcase, I feel like the 10K is more that speed workout. You know, for my favorite post-run snack, meal, food, man, I don't know. I love a good burrito. Just anytime. It doesn't even have to be post-run. It can just be any time in life. I love a burrito. And man, there are some good food trucks that help to support Runsimo that just have good burritos of all different kinds. So there's a barbecue truck called Pitt County that has the burrita, which is barbecue and macaroni and cheese in a burrito, which is way more delicious than you think it might sound. There are the Filipino food truck has a burrito. The Korean food truck has a burrito. We've got wrap food trucks that have burritos, sandwich food truck. I mean, they all have burritos and I eat them all. So a burrito and just like a nice cold IPA, a nice cold beer. I love to do that. Of course, obviously, if it is post-run in the morning, I don't do that. But, you know, I do enjoy post-run beer. Post-race beer is always great and wonderful. And of course, it's always great to share with friends. You know, something motivating on the run was definitely that, you know, story about running in the rain last week, getting pushed to run in the rain, not because for not for anything else other than, you know, I think that they knew deep down that I wanted to run, and they knew that I was just kind of making excuses. I think they were also like, oh, come on, Andrew, you're the leader. You're supposed to be the one setting the example out for all of us. But I, you know, I think there was something to get them out there. And then lastly, and just the question that I just enjoy asking so much each and every week is, you know, what is the reason for you to go and join your local group, your local club for a group run? Because I can guarantee you that the people in these groups, the ones that I have experienced, and if they don't, you know, leave them immediately, but the groups that I have experienced, they truly want to make you the best version of yourself that they can. That does not mean the fastest. It just means the best. And truly great and awesome run communities really care about you and will help to push you forward and to motivate you for anything and everything. And so go out and join them. Find, you know, I mean, it's, you might have to go to a couple different ones. I'm not saying the first one's going to be the greatest. I hope it is. And if you're a run club leader, make your run club the most awesome. Always strive for that. But to go out there, because I truly believe that these communities are what make us better. And so we continue to be driven forward by these communities. So yeah, that's really all I have to say. I guess, I mean, I've been talking for 40 minutes now. So like I said, I have no, you know, lack of wording here. But before we hop off, I do want to make sure that, you know, I ask for your support. There's a lot that goes into this podcast. There's a lot that goes into a lot of this community. And so your support means anything and everything to me. And no matter how you support, even the tiniest bit of support, I would love it if you would just take that extra, you know, second, minute, 5 minutes to help to support this podcast, this community. You know, I have hopes and dreams that go beyond this podcast, that expand what this podcast is doing. And your support can help to make those things happen. So, you know, take that extra second. If you're listening to this, if this is your first episode, take that extra second, hit that follow or subscribe button, whatever app you're listening to this on, take that extra second and hit that follow or subscribe button. If you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you know, take that extra minute and maybe help by leaving a rating and review. This really helps so that, one, I can see what you love about this podcast, how much you're loving it, but two, it helps other people to see it. If you're doing it on Apple Podcasts, do it. You do it on the podcast in general. So you go to the Run, Build, Grow podcast, and then you can rate it, and then just take a minute and leave a review too, to really help show why you love it. If you leave a review, I'll read it in the next episode. If you're doing it on Spotify, you really just leave it in that Q&A section within each episode. And so I love it. My friend Chris, he's Dat Frenchy on Spotify. He is now just like every episode, he's leaving just a great and encouraging message. It's not that I don't love shouting out every time he does it, but I mean, he is in there every time. Chris, it means so much every time you leave a comment on these episodes about how much you're loving it. Thank you so much. If you want those reviews read out, if you want to be a part of the community that helps support this podcast, you know, feel free to leave those ratings and reviews. Help to donate to help to support this. You know, I don't often talk about it, but there are fees associated with hosting a podcast, with having a website, with doing all these different things, the equipment and everything that goes into it. And so if you would just help out in this way, head on over to buymeacoffee.com/runandrev. That link's going to be in the show notes, so make sure to check it out. And help to support and become a part of the Run and Rev Run Club. You can do that. You can give a one-time donation. If you thought this episode was just the most awesome episode, first of all, thank you so much. But also, make sure to go and listen to the other guests because they are even more awesome than me. But if you want to leave a one-time donation, you can go and just drop a tip. If you want to just support this podcast each and every month and you want to become a part of that community, help go over there. Just a gift of any amount helps to support. I don't really have anything to offer right now, but your support helps to make sure to keep the lights on. And as I continue to get more support and maybe this network builds, I do yearn to be able to offer things for people to get if they help to support me, to give thanks for all the work that you're doing to help keep this going. And lastly, and really the greatest thing that we can all do is just share the podcast, share this community with your running community, because we're all working on growing on the run and beyond. It's not just about the community that we experience on the run, but it's about how that community helps to form, shape, and grow us when we're not on the run. So help to support by sharing it, by donating, by subscribing, by helping to rate and review. And remember, friends, as we go out into the world, make every mile count.